few. You can instantly hear the difference there, can't you?
Oh, absolutely.
That clear, precise communication. In the world of aviation, it's not just nice to have. It's absolutely fundamental, foundational to safety.
Completely. And that's exactly why there's this global standard, a mandatory requirement for pilots when it comes to their English language skills.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into what that requirement really means. We're looking at a detailed guide that's specifically for pilots getting ready for this.
We're talking the ESA English Language Proficiency Assessment. Specifically, yeah, ESA FCL 0.055 and that ICAO Level 4 standard.
Right. And our mission really is to unpack it all. Why is it even a thing? What does the assessment actually look for?
And maybe the big one, what does hitting that minimum, that operational level four, what does that actually sound like in practice?
Yeah. Look, this deep dive is for you. Maybe you're a student pilot thinking, what is this test? Or you're already flying and just curious about the standards.
Or even if you're just fascinated by, all the little details that keep things safe up there.
Okay, let's unpack this critical requirement then. Let's really understand why it's such a key part of being a pilot.
So the core question first, why ESO FCL 0.055? Why is English the chosen language?
It really boils down to safety, doesn't it? Especially now with such an international system.
It does. English just sort of
Yes.
became the international language for aviation. It's the common ground everyone needs.
Makes sense.
Think about it, talking to air traffic control, maybe in a country where you don't speak the local language, or coordinating with other planes.
Especially under IFR, right? Instrument flight rules.
Exactly. When you're relying purely on the radio and your instruments, any tiny misunderstanding, any ambiguity because of language, well, that's a direct threat. It's a safety issue.
You really can't afford any confusion up there. No room for just hoping they understand you.
Not at all. And that's why the requirement is so firm. If you're using a radio telephone on board, and pretty much everyone is, your pilot license has to have an endorsement. It shows your language proficiency, which language, what level you hit, and crucially, when it expires, when you need to prove it again.
And it's even stricter for pilots with an instrument rating or those working towards it.
That's right. Yeah, it's very explicit. You have to formally demonstrate English proficiency. It's done through an assessment that's approved by whatever aviation authority is relevant to you. It's baked right into getting that IR.
Okay, so it's not just a simple tick box exercise then. There are different levels involved.
Correct. It's not just pass/fail. There are recognized levels of proficiency.
Right.
And the absolute minimum for operational use for anyone using that radio telephone is ICAO Operational Level 4.
Okay, level four. But there are higher levels too.
Yes. And the level you get actually determines how often you need to be retested to show you're still up to scratch.
Ah, interesting. Tell us about those levels and how long they're valid for.
Okay. So if you demonstrate level 4 proficiency, that's the operational minimum. That's valid for 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Need reevaluation then.
Exactly. Then you've got level 5, which they call extended. That gives you 6 years before you need another
Six
assessment.
years. Okay, better.
And then there's the top tier, level 6 expert. Generally, if you hit level 6, you don't need any further reevaluation. It's considered a lifelong proficiency for aviation purposes.
So level six is the expert, really fluent, comfortable, pretty much anywhere. Level five is extended, so like more confident, more consistent.
Yeah, definite step up.
And level four is that critical baseline. It basically says you can communicate safely, but maybe mostly in routine, predictable situations.
That's a good way to put it. It's deemed sufficient for safety in, let's say, most standard operational contexts.
Right.
But that reevaluation period for level four acknowledges that, language skills can fade if you don't use them, especially for handling complexity. So regular checks are needed.
Okay, that makes sense. So how do they actually assess this? What goes into figuring out if someone's level four, five, or six? What are they listening for?
Well, they're really looking at your practical ability. Can you communicate effectively in realistic aviation scenarios?
Okay.
And that means using both the strict standard phraseology.
Like the official radio calls.
Exactly, the scripted stuff. And your ability to use plain non-standard English.
Ah, the plain English bit. That seems really important.
It's incredibly important because, let's face it, things don't always follow the script in the air, do they?
Definitely not.
You get non-routine situations, unexpected events. You need to be able to describe what's happening clearly without just relying on standard phrases.
Yeah, I can imagine that's where potential problems could really surface. You can drill phraseology, but describing, I don't know, an unusual vibration needs different skills.
Precisely. So the assessors are looking for a few key things. Can you actually communicate effectively, voice only, like on the radio, or maybe face-to-face during a ground check?
Okay.
Can you talk about common aviation stuff, weather, your plane's status, navigation? Can you discuss it accurately?
Right.
And crucially, can you use communication strategies, things like asking, say again, or confirming information back, to make sure the message got through okay and to fix any misunderstandings?
What about dealing with unexpected difficulties? Like maybe a controller has a really strong accent or something complex is happening fast.
That's specifically looked at too. They want to see how you handle those linguistic challenges that crop up when things get complicated or unexpected.
Makes sense.
And finally, there's intelligibility. Is your accent or dialect clear enough that people from different backgrounds in the international aviation community can understand you without, too much effort?
So it's not about having no accent.
Not at all. It's about ensuring your accent doesn't actually get in the way of being understood.
Got it. Okay, so the source material breaks this down even more into six specific skill areas based on the ICAO rating scale. What are those pillars?
Right, yeah, the six pillars. Good way to think about it. First up is pronunciation. Basically, how understandable is your speech, even with influence from your native language?
Okay, pronunciation. What's next?
Then structure. That's your grammar. How well do you put sentences together? And if you make mistakes, do they actually stop someone understanding your meaning?
Structure, right, then.
Vocabulary. Do you have the words you need for aviation topics, both the technical terms and just general words? And importantly, if you don't know the exact word, can you talk around it? Can you paraphrase effectively?
Vocabulary and paraphrasing. Okay.
Yeah.
Number four.
Fluency. This is about the flow. Is your speaking speed okay? Not too fast, not too slow. Do you hesitate a lot? Does it sound reasonably natural, or is it really strained? And are you using distracting fillers, like constantly?
Fluency. Got it. What else?
Comprehension. This is the flip side. How well do you understand spoken English in an aviation context? Common topics, work stuff. Especially if things get a bit complicated or the speaker has a different accent.
Comprehension makes sense. And the last one.
Interactions. This is all about the two-way communication. Can you start a conversation? Keep it going. Ask for things to be repeated or confirmed if you're unsure. Can you check you've understood correctly? And how do you handle it if there's a misunderstanding?
Interactions. Okay, so pronunciation, structure, vocabulary, fluency, comprehension, interactions.
That's the set. And the assessment will likely use different methods, listening tasks, speaking tasks, maybe role playing to check all these areas, really focusing on your overall practical language use in simulated aviation situations.
Okay, let's dive even deeper then into level four specifically. This is where it gets really interesting, defining that minimum standard for safe operation. What does level four actually look like for each of those six skills?
Right, let's break it down. For pronunciation at level four, your accent is probably going to be influenced by your first language, and that's generally okay.
Okay.
The key is, it should only sometimes interfere with how easily someone understands you. They're not expecting perfect pronunciation.
Just practical clarity.
Exactly. Practical clarity under pressure. An accent is fine as long as the listener isn't constantly straining. Maybe just occasionally they need to focus a bit more.
Got it. Mostly clear, but maybe the odd moment requires a bit more effort from the listener.
That's it. Now, structure your grammar. At level four, you should be able to use basic grammar and even some complex structures. Well, creatively and usually correctly.
Usually. So errors are okay.
Errors will happen, yeah, especially when things get unexpected or stressful. But the rule for level four is that these errors should rarely interfere with the meaning.
So the meaning still gets through.
That's the critical part. Minor grammar mistakes are tolerated if the essential information is still clear. Function over perfect form, you know.
Okay. What about vocabulary at level four?
Your range of words and how accurately you use them should be usually sufficient for the common, concrete, work-related topics you deal with in aviation.
Usually sufficient.
And, very importantly, you can often paraphrase successfully if you need to, especially if something unusual happens and you need to describe it. That ability to find another way to say something is a really key skill.
Makes sense. Okay, fluency. How smooth does your speech need to be for level four?
You should be able to speak at an appropriate tempo. Not rushed, not painfully slow.
Right.
Some loss of fluency now and then is expected, especially if you're switching from, say, practice phraseology to having to explain something spontaneously in plain English.
Okay, so some hesitation is fine.
Yes, as long as that hesitation or searching for words doesn't actually prevent effective communication. And any fillers you use, like or shouldn't be so frequent that they become distracting. The goal is getting the message across effectively, not sounding like a polished orator.
Got it. And comprehension at level four, understanding others.
You need to be mostly accurate when listening to common, concrete, work-related stuff, assuming the speaker has a reasonably intelligible accent.
Mostly accurate. What if things get complicated?
Well, that's where level four shows its limits slightly. If you hit a linguistic snag, maybe confusing instructions, fast speech, complex situation, your understanding might be slower. Or you might need to use those clarification strategies we talked about.
Like asking them to repeat or confirm.
Exactly. And that's perfectly fine at level four. The key thing is realizing you need clarification and using those strategies to get to an accurate understanding eventually. It's okay to need a bit more effort sometimes.
Right. Which leads us nicely into the last one, interactions.
Yeah. At level four, your responses in a conversation should be usually immediate, appropriate, and informative. You shouldn't just sit there silently.
You need to participate.
You need to be able to initiate talk, keep it going, even when unexpected things crop up. And you need to be able to adequately handle misunderstandings using checking, confirming, clarifying to sort things out.
It's about being an active part of that communication loop.
Precisely. Making sure accuracy flows both ways.
Yeah.
Not just receiving, but actively ensuring mutual understanding.
It's really fascinating how practical these descriptions are. They're not about academic perfection at all.
Not at all.
They really define a functional language ability needed for a very specific, very high-stakes job.
Absolutely. Level four is all about being competent enough for the operational environment, even if it's not flawless. And the source guide mentions that audio examples exist, which must be incredibly helpful.
Oh, definitely.
Because hearing what level four actually sounds like would bring these descriptions to life.
Yeah. Okay. So we understand what level four means now. How do you actually prepare for this assessment? What are the practical steps someone should take? This is how you, listening, can get ready.
Preparation is absolutely crucial. And the guide gives some really solid practical advice. First, maybe the most obvious one, master standard phraseology.
Know your calls.
Know ICO doc 4444. Know your local procedures. Practice delivering them clearly, confidently. Get that down cold.
But as we said, that's only part of it.
Only half the battle, yeah.
Yeah.
You must develop your plain English skills. You need to actively practice describing things outside the standard script.
Like what?
Unusual situations, maybe small emergencies, or just describing what you see out the window, what the plane's doing, using clear, simple, non-technical English. That builds the flexibility you need.
Okay. Plain English practice. What else?
Improve listening comprehension. This is huge for understanding ATC, other traffic. You need to expose yourself to authentic aviation audio.
Like live ATC, maybe. Or podcasts.
Exactly. Live ATC feeds, if you can access them legally and ethically. Aviation podcasts with different accents, training materials. Focus on understanding messages, even with background noise or different accents.
Right, listening skills.
Then work on pronunciation and fluency. Remember, the goal is clarity, not losing your accent. Maybe record yourself speaking. Listen back. Easy to understand.
Good idea.
Practice speaking at a steady, moderate pace. Try to consciously cut down on hesitation and too many ums and ums.
Okay. Pronunciation and fluency.
Expand your aviation vocabulary. Learn the names for aircraft parts, weather terms, ATC instructions, emergency procedures, all that specific language.
And link that to paraphrasing.
Yes, definitely. Practice describing something if you can't remember the exact term. Can you explain its function or location clearly anyway?
Okay. Vocabulary and paraphrasing. What's next?
Practice interactive communication. This might mean role-playing scenarios, maybe with an instructor or even just a study buddy.
Focus on the back and forth.
Yes. Focus on those interaction skills, asking for repeats, confirming clearances, clarifying instructions, working through simulated misunderstandings.
Got it. Anything else practical?
Well, make sure you understand the test format itself. Ask the testing center, what will it actually involve? An interview. Listening exercises, a simulator check. Knowing the format reduces anxiety and helps you focus your practice.
Good point. Know what you're walking into.
And try to simulate unexpected events in your practice. Don't just run through perfect flights. Get your instructor or practice partner to throw curveballs at you.
Like a sudden reroute or an equipment issue to report.
Exactly. Something that forces you out of the standard script and into using that plain English and your problem-solving communication skills.
Right.
And finally, if you really want the deep background, review ICAO Doc 9835. That's the manual on implementing these language proficiency requirements.
Wow, okay. That's a comprehensive list. And it really frames it not just as studying for a test, but as building vital operational skills.
That's exactly what it is. These skills make you a safer, more effective pilot, period.
Absolutely. But, you know, even with great prep, people can stumble. Thinking about communication under pressure.
Yeah.
What are the common traps, the pitfalls people fall into with this test, according to the guide?
Yeah, there are definitely common mistakes. One of the biggest, and we kind of hinted at it already, is over-reliance on phraseology.
Just sticking to the script.
Right. Some pilots think if they just nail the standard calls perfectly, that's enough.
Yeah.
But then something unusual happens, something not in the book, and they freeze or can't express themselves clearly in plain English.
So you need both.
You absolutely need fluency in both standard phraseology and adaptable plain English. The test and real-world flying demands it.
Okay. What's another pitfall?
Speaking too quickly or too quietly. Nerves can do that, right? You rush your words or you speak so softly you can barely be heard.
Yeah.
But speed or quietness doesn't help if no one understands you. Clarity and a controlled audible pace are much more important, especially with cockpit noise or radio static.
Pace and clarity over speed. Got it.
And this one might seem counterintuitive. Not asking for clarification.
People feel it makes them look bad.
Exactly. Some test takers worry that asking, say, again, or concern you mean, makes them seem incompetent or like they weren't listening.
But in aviation,
guessing is potentially disastrous. Asking for clarification is actually a sign of competence. It shows you prioritize accuracy over ego. It's a vital safety strategy, not a weakness.
That's a really important point. It's okay to ask, what about making mistakes? Level 4 allows some errors, right?
It does. And that leads to another pitfall, letting errors derail you.
Getting flustered.
Yes. Since level 4 permits errors, as long as they don't destroy the meaning, making a small grammatical slip isn't the end of the world. The mistake is letting that error make you panic, stop talking, lose your fluency, and just spiral.
So recover quickly.
Recover quickly. Move past it. Or make a quick self-correction if you can do it smoothly, but don't let it break your communication flow.
Okay. And one more.
Forgetting the interaction element. Treating the assessment like it's just a test of your speaking or your listening in isolation.
Like a monologue or just answering questions.
Right. But it's supposed to be a conversation, a two-way street. You need to actively participate. Manage the exchange. Use those strategies like confirming and clarifying to ensure mutual understanding. Don't just be passive.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So let's try and wrap this up, bringing all this information together. What does this deep dive into the ISACO English requirement ultimately mean for you, the pilot listening?
I think it means that this language proficiency assessment, it's really much more than just, you know, another box to tick on the long list of pilot requirements.
It's fundamental.
It's a fundamental validation of your ability to operate safely in a complex international environment where clear communication is absolutely paramount. It's about the safety of everyone, your flight, your passengers, other crews, people on the ground.
And understanding those specific details of level 4, what's expected, what's okay, the mix of skills needed, and then preparing in a targeted way. That seems key.
It's absolutely the key. Focus, practical preparation that builds real communication skills, not just test-taking tricks. That's how you not only pass the assessment, but become a genuinely safer, more confident, and well-rounded pilot.
It really defines operational competence in communication.
In detail.
Yeah. Okay. So we've taken a pretty deep dive here into the ESA pilot English language requirement. We've looked at why it exists, unpacked the ICAO levels, especially level 4.
Dissected those 6 key skill areas they assess.
And really tried to define what hitting that crucial level 4 standard actually means in practice. Plus, hopefully, giving you some solid ideas on how to prepare and what common mistakes to avoid.
It's definitely a complex area, but so vital for modern aviation.
It really is. You know, a final thought maybe. Think about how this need for precise, adaptable communication, often under pressure, how that applies not just in the cockpit.
Oh, definitely.
But really in any field where a quick misunderstanding, a poorly phrased sentence could have really serious consequences. It just makes you appreciate the power and the responsibility that comes with using language clearly, doesn't it?
It really does. Words matter.
They certainly do. Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into these sources.
We really hope this helps clarify what the ELSA ELP test is all about and why it's so important.